Music you love here on VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Gina Bennett brings us Ask a Teacher. Today, she answers a question that many VOA Learning English fans ask. How do I improve my vocabulary? We also hear a report about a popular dance in Brazil that is being honored by lawmakers from Rio de Janeiro State. Dan Novak has that story. And we close the show with the program American Stories. Today, we hear the fourth and final part of the science fiction work, A Princess of Mars, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. But first, a report about a major recognition for a small but very popular Mexican food stand. Be warned, this story might make your mouth water. Mexico City's Tacos El Califa de León recently became the first Mexican taco stand to get a Michelin star, an award presented by the famous French Restaurant Guide. Chef Arturo Rivera Martinez recently stood over a very hot grill when Michelin representatives came to present him with one of the company's heavy white chef's coats. But Rivera Martinez did not put the jacket on. In this very small 3-meter by 3-meter business space, the heat makes the meat, and the heat is strong. At El Califa de León, there are only 4 things on the menu, all of them tacos. The food business has been doing the same 4 things since opening in 1968. The secret is the simplicity of our taco. It has only a tortilla, red or green sauce, and that's it. That and the quality of the meat, said Rivera Martinez. He is also probably the only Michelin-starred chef who, when asked what drink should go with his food, answers, "I like a Coke." Other than perhaps one street food stand in Bangkok, Thailand, El Califa de León is probably the smallest restaurant ever to get a Michelin star. And half of the small space is taken up by a solid steel plate grill that is hotter than the salsa. Thousands of times a day, Rivera Martinez gets a fresh, thinly sliced piece of beef and puts it on the hot steel grill. The heat is one of the few secrets Rivera Martinez would share. The steel grill has to be heated to 360 degrees Celsius. Asked how it felt to get a Michelin star, he said in classic Mexico City slang, "It's neat, it's cool." The prices at his stand are quite high by Mexican standards. A single taco costs nearly $5. But many customers are sure it is the best in the city. "It's the quality of the meat," said Alberto Munoz, who has been coming to the place for about 8 years. "I have never been disappointed, And now I'll recommend it with even more reason, now that it has a star. His son, Alan, who was waiting for a beef taco alongside his father, noted, "This is a historic day for Mexican cuisine, and we're witnesses to it." It really is about not changing anything, the freshness of the tortillas, the menu, the design of the restaurant. Owner Mario Hernandez Alonso will not even tell where he buys the stand's meat. By law, following the coronavirus pandemic, Mexico City restaurants have been permitted to open up street-side seating areas. But El Califa de León does not even have a sidewalk where customers could eat because of all the street vendors. Asked if he would like them to make room for a street-side seating area, Hernandez Alonso said, pointing to the street vendors, "As the saying goes, why fix or change something that's all right? You shouldn't fix anything. It's the way God ordered things, and you have to deal with it."
A dance that started in some of Brazil's poorest neighborhoods is being honored by Rio de Janeiro state lawmakers. The passinho started with leg movements, strong steps backwards and forwards, while moving to a Brazilian form of funk music. It took moves from dance styles like breakdancing, samba, capoeira, and frevo. Young people in Rio de Janeiro's poor neighborhoods, known as favelas, started the dance style. Rio de Janeiro state lawmakers declared the dance a piece of cultural heritage in March. The declaration honors a cultural expression from the favelas. The creators of the passinho were young people and children. They started trying out new moves at home and then showing them off at funk parties in their communities. The dances became more popular after people started sharing them on the internet. In the early days of social media, people shared videos of their dance moves on Orkut and YouTube. The style started spreading to other favelas and competitions started. The young people copied and learned from the top dancers, leading them to invent new moves. Passinho in my life is the basis of everything I have, dancer and choreographer Walcir de Oliveira told the Associated Press. It's where I manage to earn my livelihood, and I can show people my joy and blow off steam, he said. It's where I feel happy, good. Brazilian producer Julio Ludemir helped discover new dancers by organizing passinho battles in the early 2010s. At these events, youths took turns showing off their steps before a jury that chose the winners. A music and dance event in New York City held a competition in 2014. It showed Americans the dance style. Dancers started appearing on popular TV shows and performed at the opening ceremony of the Rio de Janeiro 2016 Olympic Games. Ludemir describes the style as an expression of Brazilian culture called cannibalism. That is the idea of taking elements from other cultures to produce something new. He said the passinho is a dance that takes elements from all dances. It's a crossing of the cultural influences absorbed by kids as they were connecting with the world through social media in internet cafes. Supporters say dancing also became a way for young people from the favelas to avoid becoming criminals. Rio State legislator Veronica Lima proposed the law honoring the Pasiniu. In a statement, Lima said it was important to help decriminalize funk and artistic expressions of youths from the favelas. Ludimir said the declaration honors the first generation of Pasiniu dancers as examples for favela youths. Among them is Pablo Enrique Gonsalves. He won a Pasiniu battle back in 2014 and created a boy group called Ozi Crias. The group has four dancers from Rocinha, Rio de Janeiro's largest favela. The group earns money performing. Another dance group is Pasiniu Carioca in the Peña favelas on the other side of the city. One of its leaders, Nayara Costa, said she came from a family where everyone was involved in selling drugs. She said Pasiniu saved her from that life. Now she uses dance to help young people and teach anyone interested in learning. Today I give classes to people who are in their 60s. Pasiniu is for everyone, said Costa, who is 23. Pasiniu, in the same way that it changed my life, is going to change the lives of others. I'm Dan Novak.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we talk about how you can improve your vocabulary. Many VOA Learning English fans write to us with this question. What is the best way to improve my vocabulary? This is a good question, VOA fans. Many learners think the best way to improve their vocabulary is to learn the definition of many words. But this is not necessarily the best way to improve. The best way is to fully know a word. To know a word, we must know its form, meaning, and usage. Today, let's talk about the form of a word. In the coming weeks, we will talk about meaning and usage. The form of a word can relate to how it sounds, is written, and what its parts are. Knowing the sounds of a word includes recognizing it when it is spoken and being able to say it correctly. This includes the individual sounds and also how the sounds may change when people are saying the word quickly. For example, it's nice to meet you. When some people say this sentence at a natural speed, they might make a ch sound at the end of the word meet and the beginning of the word you, although the word's spellings do not suggest this. This sound change does not affect the meaning of the words, but it might cause you trouble when you are trying to understand the sentence. In English, stress is important to the sound of a word, and it can even decide whether a word is a noun or a verb.
For example, the word spelled R-E-C-O-R-D can be thought of as two words. When we stress the first part of the word, record, it is a noun. When we stress the second part of the word, record, it is a verb.
What appears to be one word is really two parts of speech. This is part of knowing what form a word takes. The form of a word also involves its parts. It is important to recognize the root word in addition to prefixes or suffixes. These are added beginnings or endings which change the meaning of the word's root. For example, knowing that the word addition includes recognizing the verb to add plus the suffix t-i-o-n, which suggests a state or an action. Knowing the word untrue includes recognizing the base word true and the prefix un, which means not. When we look at English words in this way, we can see that our vocabulary expands by understanding a word's form. As we saw in the word record, the same word can work as two parts of speech. VOA fans, the best way to improve your vocabulary is to really know a word, its form, meaning, and usage, not just a definition. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Gina Bennett.
And now, the Learning English program, American Stories. Here is Shep O'Neill with the fourth and final part of A Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
The huge green warrior Tars Tarkas came slowly toward me with his thin sword. I backed away. I did not want to fight him. I did not wish his death. He had been as kind to me as a green Martian can be. As I stood watching him, a rifle fired in the distance. Then another and another. Tars Tarkas and his warriors were under attack from another tribe of green warriors. Within seconds, a terrible battle raged. As I watched, three of the attackers fell on Tars Tarkas. He killed one and was fighting with the other two when he slipped and fell. I ran to his aid, swinging my sword. He was on his feet. Shoulder to shoulder, we fought against the attackers. They finally withdrew after an hour of fierce fighting.
John Carter, I think I understand the meaning of the word friend. You saved my life when I was about to take yours. From this day, you are no longer a captive among our people, but a leader and great warrior among us.
There was a smile on his face. Once again, he took off a metal band from his arm and gave it to me.
I have a question for you, John Carter. I understand why you took the Red Woman with you, but why did Sola leave her people and go with you?
She did not want to see me or the princess harmed. She does not like the great games held by your people where captives are led to die. She knows if she is caught, she too will die in the games. She told me she hates the games because her mother died there.
What? How could she know her mother?
She told me her mother was killed in the games because she had hidden the egg that produced her. Her mother hid Sola among other children before she was captured. Sola said she was a kind woman, not like others of your tribe. Tars Tarkas grew angry as I was speaking, but I could see past his anger. I could see pain in his eyes. I immediately knew Sola's great secret. I have a question for you, Tars Tarkas. Did you know Sola's mother?
Yes, and if I could have, I would have prevented her death. I know this story to be true. I have always known the woman who died in those games had a child. I never knew the child. I do now. Sola is also my child.
For 3 days, we followed the trail left by the Princess Deja Torres, Sola, and poor, ugly Wula. At last, we could see them in the distance. Their animal could no longer be ridden. They were talking. When we came near, Wula turned to fight us. I slowly walked to him with my hand out. Sola was standing nearby. She was armed and prepared to fight. The princess was lying next to her feet. Sola, what is wrong with the princess?
She has been crying much these past few days, John Carter. We believed you died so we could escape. The thought of your death was very heavy on this woman, my friend Deja Thoris. Come and tell her you are among the living. Perhaps that will stop her crying.
I walked to where the Princess Deja Thoris was lying on the ground. She looked at me with eyes that were red from crying. Princess, you are no longer in danger. Tars Tarkas has come with me as a friend. He and his warriors will help to see you safely home. And Sola, I would have you greet your father, Tars Tarkas, a great leader among your people. Your secret no longer means death to anyone. He already knows you are his daughter. The two of you have nothing to fear. Sola turned and looked at Tars Tarkas. She held out her hand. He took it. It was a new beginning for them.
I know our world has never before seen anyone like you, John Carter. Can it be that all Earthmen are like you? I was alone, a stranger, hunted, threatened. Yet you would freely give your life to save me. You come to me now with a tribe of green warriors who offer their friendship. You are no longer a captive, but wear the medal of great rank among their people. No man has ever done this.
Princess, I have done many strange things in my life, many things much smarter men would not have done. And now, before my courage fails, I would ask you to be mine in marriage. She smiled at me for a moment, and then her dark eyes flashed in the evening light.
You have no need of your courage, John Carter, because you already knew the answer before you asked the question.
Several days later, we reached the city of Helium. At first, the red men of Helium thought we were an attacking army. But they soon saw their princess. We were greeted with great joy. Tars Tarkas and his green warriors caused the greatest excitement. This huge group of green warriors entered the city as friends and allies. I soon met Tardos Mors, the grandfather of Dejarthoris. He tried several times to thank me for saving the life of the princess, but tears filled his eyes, and he could not speak. For 9 years, I served in the government and fought in the armies of Helium as a prince of the royal family. It was a happy time. The princess Dejarthoris and I were expecting a child. Then, one day, a soldier returned from a long flight. When he landed, he hurried to the great meeting room. Tardos Mors met with the soldier and reported that every creature on the planet had but 3 days to live. He said the great machines that produced the atmosphere on the planet had stopped producing oxygen. He said no one knew why this had happened, but there was nothing that could be done. The air grew thin within a day. Many people could do nothing but sleep. I watched as my princess was slowly dying. I had to try something. I could still move with great difficulty. I went to our airport and chose a fast aircraft. I flew as fast as I could to the building that produced the atmosphere of the planet. Workers were trying to enter. I tried to help. With a great effort, I opened a hole. I grew very weak. I asked one of the workers if he could start the engines. He said he would try. I fell asleep on the ground. It was dark when I opened my eyes again. My clothing felt stiff and strange. I sat up. I could see light from an opening. I walked outside. The land looked strange to me. I looked up to the sky and saw the red planet Mars. I was once again on Earth in the desert of Arizona. I cried out with deep emotion. Did the worker reach the machines to renew the atmosphere? Did the air reach the people of that planet in time to save them? Was my princess Dejarthoris alive, or did she lie cold in death? For 10 years now, I have watched the night sky looking for an answer. I believe she and our child are waiting there for me. Something tells me that I shall soon know.
That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.